Damas y caballeros, ladies and gentlemen, bienvenidos al show Vida en Cero Gravedad, Life in Zero Gravity. You know the vibes, tú sabes las vibras. And today, I wanted to be more positive, so I got this notebook. I don't want to make these like ranting shows, so I got a new notebook to help me with that. So I will keep it more positive in the near future, as in a few minutes. So yeah, welcome to episode 210, episode 43 of the video experiment. I don't know how the video experiment's really going. I'm trying. It's definitely an adjustment period, so I'm making it work as best I can. But yeah, so I'm not going to get into the money saga on this episode too much, but for now, I think I'll give her a name. Her last name's Stain. I won't give her a first name to protect the innocent or the guilty, but her last name is actually Stain, which is kind of funny, and her name rhymes with Diaresia, so Diaresia Stain is how I will refer to her on this episode. So she has an ex dating another ex, right? But this isn't the normal scenario of that. I mean, I guess that isn't a normal scenario for most people, your ex dating another ex. In her case, she is bi, so it sort of makes sense. But here's where it gets wild. She tells me that her ex, who is trans, like a male to female transgender person, is dating another one of her exes. I don't know how they know each other. I guess through her. But yeah, so they're dating each other. It's just super chaotic. But the funny part about it is Diaresia Stain, who is referred to me as a narcissist, thinks that this is somehow all about her, like they're just dating her to make her jealous. And I just found that kind of funny, because it's like, it's probably not about you. If it is, either way, it's bad. If it's not about you, then it's bad that you would think that, because, I mean, from the outside looking in, it's like, I don't think someone's going to go out of their way to date someone else just because their ex dated them. Like, that seems very odd to me. I mean, people are capable of anything, I guess, but it doesn't seem very likely to me for that to be the case. But either way, I think it's a funny scenario. Yeah. But yeah, this, you know, if you didn't see it, this is the new notebook. Yeah, this is actually like pretty hardcore. It's like hardcover and all that. I buy it to stay positive. You know, I want to be negative. But it's still fuck all you hoes. No, I'm just playing. I just said that. I just said that. I didn't mean it. I didn't mean it at all. Okay. I was just kidding. I got this new notebook. The only movie I saw in theaters this week was Hocus Pocus. I can't really rate that. I mean, I was going to watch the new Exorcist, but I heard it's not that good. And they were trying to charge like $20 for IMAX. And I was like, I don't know if I want to risk the spending that on a movie that I'm not sure is good. Like, if the movie's good, I'll do it. Special occasion for IMAX. I don't even know. I messed up because I was looking at the showings. I didn't even know they had that in IMAX. You know, when you just look at the showings like really quickly. So I saw that it existed and I didn't know it was IMAX. So that was my bad. I didn't realize that it was going to be like that. And yeah, I wasn't trying to do that. But luckily, The Exorcist was not the only movie showing. I was able to just watch Hocus Pocus, which was fun, but I'm not going to rate it because it's so old. It was the 30-year anniversary. I mean, you know, I guess I could rate it. What would I rate Hocus Pocus? Let me think. I think it's pretty solid. I think maybe not everything held up well. Some of the stuff looked a little cheesy now. Now, people will be mad at my rating probably. I'll give a 7 out of 11 Zeus Slaps God. That's what I'll give it. Back in the day, it was probably an 8. now it's probably like a 7 because it's like, I know that's like the most common score too. That's the most common score that I give. Because I mean, I'm not trying to watch bad movies, to be fair. Like if I was, I'm sure I'd be giving a lot lower scores all the time, but I'm not actually like trying to watch, like I want to enjoy the movies. So that's part of what it is. So yeah, I'll probably give that one 7 out of 11 Zuzlev's God. Maybe 8 on a good day. But yeah, that's about where it stands for me. Not bad. Not bad. But not like, probably didn't, not everything held up well. Like them flying now, which is a pretty major part of the movie, but them flying now looks a little unrealistic, I guess. So anyway, yes. In other news, I went to a fashion show this weekend. My friend Lakar, that's her model name. I wanted to tell her good luck. Good luck to Lakar. And it was pretty fun. I've been to some fashion shows before. It was pretty fun to see like the creativity and all that, you know, and see like some potential like future, like I guess models, star models. This future star models there, so it was cool, you know. And like Mario Lopez was the host of the show. They usually have like some type of celebrity host at these like events. I've noticed that like the one I went to had, I forget the guy's name, but it was like this, it was one of these albino models. I forget his name, but he's a pretty well-known model. He was like one of the hosts of this event that I went to. I guess he makes music too. I don't know. A lot of models make music. And it's usually dance music. or like some type of, there's a model girl that I know that's like, she like raps and stuff. You know, it's usually some type of like club music, whatever it is. But yeah, so yeah, there's usually a celebrity host. It was cocktail attire. But I was like, cocktail attire, I was trying to look it up because it's very vague, cocktail attire. I didn't know exactly what that meant. What is that? What do people wear when they drink cocktails? Because, I mean, a lot of people drinking cocktails are, like, shirtless, technically, right? So, like, I can't show up shirtless. So I knew I had to wear something that was, like, in the realm of cocktail. And from what I could tell, it was, like, a suit, basically. And I was one of the only people wearing a suit there. So everyone thought I was running everything. No, some people thought I like worked there. It was kind of funny. They're like, do you know where to find this? I'm like, I don't know. Some of them probably thought I was lying. Like they were asking me where the restroom was. I'm like, I don't know. I told them I don't work here because I could tell that's what they were thinking. I was like, oh, I don't work here. But I think it's over there. Or like, I was looking, I couldn't find, I was supposed to be able to sit in a seat because her, Lakar's friend had a seat. Am I pronouncing Lakar right? Yeah. Okay. I had to ask her. She's here. I wanted to ask her if I got it right. So yeah. It's sort of strange. Like one thing that I don't know why this kind of hit me. I guess I've thought of it before. It wasn't really necessarily this show, but it was just an idea that came into my mind where I was thinking, like, it's interesting that, like, female models are usually so flat, right? Like, they usually don't, basically, they don't really have ass or titties, like, almost, like, on purpose, you know? I don't know. It's just kind of interesting because those are kind of, like, the models of femininity. I guess I'm not supposed to say that because in this day and age, like, it's, like, you know, everybody that's not real, women don't always have curves or whatever. I don't know. I don't know where we're at right now, but that's what it, you know, you're not supposed to say that real women don't always have curves. That's probably like politically incorrect, but I mean, if I think of a woman, I'm thinking of like ass and titties. So it's kind of interesting that like female models have kind of had like little boy bodies for so long. You know, it's interesting. Some people think it's Some have speculated this because gay men run fashion and they just want like the models that are the closest to boys in there. That's what some have speculated. I don't know. I'm gonna get in trouble with this one now. But I don't know, it's just interesting, right? It's like if you're modeling clothes, like most of the people that are wearing your clothes are probably gonna have ass and titties, so or that are wearing your yeah, that are the people that actually will wear your clothes down the line will probably have ass and titties. So I don't know. It's interesting to not like account for that or not be modeling that. And I'm not just being a perv. I'm just saying that's what it seems like. But by contrast, like a lot of male models are like muscular, you know, a lot of male models are like masculine stereotypes. They're like muscular, toned, and like, you know, a lot of them, even if they're skinny, they have like muscle tone. So it's just kind of like interesting that it's like a totally different standard for like the female models. I think that is changing though. There's more and more models with like ass and titties now. There's more and more models that have like curves now, you know, it's becoming more, but it always should have been like that to me. It doesn't really make sense that it wasn't like that. It's kind of odd. It's like, yeah, we're going to have female models, but they're, if you just saw their body, if you cut off the face, like you might not know if it was a man or a woman, if you just, cause they're tall too. So it's like, if you only saw the bodies, you wouldn't know if depending on what they're wearing, you know, so it's sort of interesting. It's an interesting thing. So yeah. Fun story. I think I've told this story before. I was thinking about the model stuff that relates to me, you know, I'm kind of a model now. No, I was thinking about this model stuff that relates to me, but like, I knew this model, and she was like falling for me, right? She was like really interested. She wanted to date and all this stuff. And I don't know why, because I don't look people up. I guess I was trying to see more of her modeling work. That's what it was. I was trying to see more of her modeling work. So I decided to Google her. I was like, I wonder if she has any other work anywhere. So I was looking her up, probably trying to see ass and titties. I was looking her up and I found a mugshot, and it was this story about how she shot this dude in the head. Like, she shot him in the head, and I think she went to jail and got out of jail, but she shot this guy in the head, and she was like a prostitute and all this stuff. She was a pretty girl, but it was wild. I was like, damn, I'm glad I looked this person up. This is crazy. I never told her. I never like brought it up, but I was like, I don't know. Eventually it phased out the us like talking. Cause I think she was looking for someone to like pay for a bunch of stuff. And I'm like, I wonder like after that, I was like, I'm not going to pay for this stuff. I'm sure, you know, you can find other ways. So I didn't end up doing that, but yeah, that was an interesting scenario. I looked her up. It was pretty shocking. And like, and I wasn't sure if it was her, but apparently her nickname was Peaches. And I was like, oh, that's definitely her. Cause that's what her nickname was when I would talk to her. Like, she would always have Peaches and like this stuff. That was like her prostitute name, I guess. So that makes sense. It made sense. Yeah. So she shot some guy in the head. I forget. I think he lived though. I'm not sure. I think he actually lived, but still, I mean, she easily could have killed him. So this fashion show, Chanel West Coast performed at the fashion show, and she got a little bit better. I remember Charlamagne from the Breakfast Club coming on Ridiculousness, and he was just roasting her when he was on there, just talking about how terrible she was, and you could tell she was getting pissed. And I mean, she was pretty terrible, I'm not gonna lie, but she was tolerable there. The first song where she was singing, it wasn't bad. The only thing is I'm almost sure that she was lip syncing, so who knows what she actually sounds like. Because I mean, with studio effects, you can make anybody sound good, like with auto-tune and all that. But still, it didn't, like, the song itself wasn't bad. It wasn't like how it was. The other, the second song she did was kind of bad, where she was rapping again. And I was like, I don't think you should do this. But the first song was not bad, and yeah, it was. It really wasn't. So, I give her credit for improving, I guess. I mean, to be fair, there wasn't really anywhere to go but up. Like, it couldn't have gotten much worse. But, you know, I guess it could have been Sexy Red. But it wasn't Sexy Red. So that's good. At least wasn't that. So, thankful for that. Let me see if I can do it. Can I? Let's see what I got here. What do I have? Oh, can I play that? That'd be interesting. Oh, I can drop. Okay, well, I'm putting some music on here. I don't know if it's actually playing. I guess we'll see. It might be. We'll see. I'm gonna start adding more music to the show. I know that's been missing. So if you hear it, you hear it. If you don't, you don't. This is an old one. But anyway, I was going to get into what's the next, what do I want to mention next? Because there's stuff, I kind of went out of order here. Oh, I finally got to check going to Black's Beach off my bucket list. Finally, at last. If you don't know, Black's Beach is a nude or clothing optional beach near San Diego. In the, you know, near the city of San Diego. San Diego, as some call it. No, that's the Anchorman. But, yeah, I finally got to go there. So, it was pretty. It wasn't ideal weather. So, it wasn't, like, super warm or anything. But it was nice to go there on, like, a light day for the first time. Because there wasn't a lot of people there. And people started showing up. As we were leaving, there's more people showing up. Maybe it's because I was there that people weren't there. Maybe they got scared. I don't know. I don't know. But before, there weren't too many people there. But I had the luck. I was fortunate enough, lucky enough, to go to Black's Beach with my friend Lakar. Who better to go with than an experienced nudist? No, it was a lot of fun. I've been to a new beach and I actually, the first time we met at one, so that was cool. But this was, it was fun. It was pretty scenery, you know. It's a lot longer than I expected, like the beach itself. There was a lot more land than I thought there was going to be before I went there. It stretches pretty far, so that was pretty cool. And it would be interesting to see it, like, during a busy time. Like, on the weekend, I'm sure it's a lot busier. But on, you know, on a weekday, it's not bad. Like, there was a decent amount of people there. There were more coming. It's by a college, so I think it was, like, some college kids that were starting to show up as we were leaving. But, yeah, I would recommend it. I always recommend nude beaches to people because I feel like people are too uptight, you know. They're too concerned about what other people think. They're not confident in their bodies. And I think a nude beach would make pretty much anyone confident in their body, honestly, because there's all different types of shapes and sizes and stuff at the nude beach. And you'll see, like, you'll fit in, and you'll get that freeing feeling of being there. And the people that are the most, like, worried about it, I would say are the people that should go the most. Like, the people that are the most insecure, it's probably the best for you because you could really get a lot out of it, you know, I would say. So I'd recommend it. I'd recommend it to those people. Probably the best, one of the best things that you could do for your confidence, you know, because, I mean, we all got, like, similar parts, of course. Yeah, see, we all have, like, there's nothing wrong with being naked. I mean, we started out that way, So we should embrace it. Yeah, thank you, thank you. You're far too kind. I'm trying to add a little to this, a little seasoning to this show. But yeah, I'm going to take a sharp turn. Well, no, it's not that sharp of a turn. But speaking of titties, why has no one turned the Las Vegas Sphere into a titty? Like, why has nobody made that look like a titty yet? It's Sin City. Where's the titty? Why hasn't anyone made it look like a nutsack or something? Like, why? That's better than the Xbox logo. I saw they did that. I'm like, there's nothing to even play on Xbox. Why? Why can't we just have... It makes so much sense for it to just turn into a titty. Honestly, it's already shaped like a sphere. We should. That's how it should be. It's just wrong, really. Who cares about this other stuff? The moon was cool. We want the titty now. That's what we want. And speaking of sin, I read Paulo Coelho's, if I said that name wrong, I probably butchered that name. I finished reading Paulo Coelho's 11 Minutes, and it's a good book. It was crazy to be in sync with like a literary legend like that, because there's a lot of things in that book where it just felt like, damn, this is stuff I've said, you know, like literally the same type of stuff I said. And like, it's not like I haven't read this book before. I don't know what's in it. I don't know even what it's about. I mean, once I saw the cover and I started reading it, I was like, oh, I bet 11 minutes is about how long sex lasts. I had a feeling and I was right. That's what it said. But I mean, that's the time he set, but sex actually, and even I read the afterword and stuff. He based it on like a story about that somebody wrote, some psychologist or something wrote, like did research and determined sex lasted 7 minutes. So he changed it to 11 to be, he thought that was a conservative guess. I mean, good for him. I guess his sex lasts longer than 7 minutes. But truthfully, as I've said before, I think I might even have an episode called 5 inches in 5 minutes. 5 minutes, 5 inches. That's actually the average sex for people. Is 5 minutes of 5-inch dick. That's the average. So 11 minutes, some girls would probably be happy with 11 minutes. A lot of girls would be happy with that. Because as I've learned talking to you beautiful ladies out there, it's always like you're about to finish and then the guy finishes. So if you just had a few more minutes, you could probably get there, you know. But no, there's too many of these guys busting. And if the average is 5, that means a lot of guys is like 1 minute or 3 minutes or whatever. That's the average. So, and that same study said that anything longer than 20 minutes is considered like an anomaly, which this just blew my mind. I thought that sex probably lasted like 20 minutes on average. If I had to guess, like, I wasn't basing it on myself or anything. I was just thinking like, that sounds about right. You know, when you watch movies, it looks like they're maybe going at it for 20 minutes or something. I mean, I guess in the movies, it looks like it's like hours, but you're thinking like, oh, this isn't realistic. It's a movie. Like, this isn't how it really is. You know? So I thought that the average was probably like 20 minutes. You know, I wouldn't have been shocked at 15. I was kind of shocked at 5. I was pretty shocked at 5 minutes. I thought that for sure it was longer than that. But yeah, it was an interesting book. It's actually like it had a good story, and it's based on a true story. It's this prostitute from Brazil who moves to Switzerland. Or she didn't start out a prostitute, but she moved to Switzerland and became a prostitute. Like, it starts with her accepting like this expensive dinner with this guy. He pays her like $1,000, right? 1,000 francs, actually, which I think translates to $600 or something like that. I don't know. Who knows what it is now, too? Not like the book just came out. But anyway, it's beside the point. We're not here to fucking talk about the monetary value like nerds, okay? That's not what I was trying to do at all, my bad. So anyway, so the book, it's about this prostitute, I guess. It even mentions Pretty Woman in there. It gave me the vibes of like that movie Pretty Woman. And I mean, that's that's those are real type of stories that happen. Like, so basically she is dating, she's not dating, she's prostituting, and she ends up like falling for a couple guys. And does it work out with them? Who knows? You have to read the book to find out, but I would recommend it. I thought it was a good book. The author is from Brazil. It's the author of The Alchemist. If you heard of The Alchemist, that's a famous book. Like that book, I mean, I read it. I've bought it as a gift. Like that's a good book. Very good book. Changes the way you think. This thing, same thing, kind of changes the way you think. Yeah, salute to Paulo Coelho for that. But I was one thing that, so one takeaway with the book, which has a good ending, by the way. Make sure you read to the end. It had a cool ending, especially if that's the true story. That's really cool. I think it is, actually, or at least close enough to what actually happened that it might as well be a true story. So, by the way, how are we feeling? Does this sound better? Doesn't All right, I apologize. Apologize for the technical difficulties. I don't know how much that affected that, but I don't know what we caught. I don't know what went through or not, but yeah, anyway. A lot of people slut shame, but you need sluts. You need sluts. Sluts make the world go round. Fat bottom girls make the rockin' world go round, right? But no, really, like, I joke, but a lot of people aren't good the first time. You need more experience. You got to get better. Somebody has to teach somebody, right? You can't, like, somebody figured it out. Somebody was a slut in the first place and figured this stuff out for everyone. So you got to be thankful for that original slut. I don't know who it was. Was it Eve? We don't know. We don't know. We don't really know. I mean, she likes snakes, you know. She was doing stuff she wasn't supposed to do, according to the times. So there you go. Maybe it was Eve. Maybe Eve was the original slut. You know. They say Mary was a prostitute. But we slut shame. Interesting. Curious, isn't it? Rather curious indeed. But anyway, yes. yeah, you need experience. You got to get better. And one thing, this is a thing that I've heard, which I think is kind of funny. I've heard people say, missionary's boring. And it's like, if you have said that, you're probably not good at sex, honestly. If you've ever said missionary's boring, you're probably not good at sex. Sorry, I hate to break it to you. But no positions are boring if you know what you're doing. They're all very exciting if you know what you're doing. Very exciting. But for real, they're very exciting. Yeah, like if you know what you're doing, every stroke will feel good. Like you gotta be experienced and understand what you're doing with your meat, you know? And then it won't be boring. Missionary can actually be one of the best positions, if not the best. I mean, it's not my personal favorite, I wouldn't say. But I mean, I guess, you know what, though? In a way, it's one of the most intimate, you know, when you're looking them in the eye and all that. That's one of the most intimate. Like, you don't do that doggy style. Doggy style feels great, but you're not looking them in the eye as much sometimes. But for the most part, not as easy, not as intimate. So whoever says that, I think you're tripping and you're probably whack in bed. You should reevaluate life, I would say. So yeah, that's what I would say. Sluts matter. Sluts matter. Sluts are important. Sluts don't think missionary's boring. Maybe they do. Maybe sluts do. I don't know. They might be bored with missionary. It's entirely possible. They're allowed to be bored with missionary. You're not allowed. You haven't had enough sex to be bored with it. Maybe people are afraid of intimacy. Maybe that's part of it. Totally could be that. Trying to be more positive here. Trying to be more open-minded on this show. You ever realize that most of life is people doing things for other people's approval? Like people will buy that house because of what other people think. They'll buy that car to show off to other people. Because, I mean, if there's no one in the world, would you be buying that house, buying that car to show off? Would you be? Ask yourself that sometime. If you ever feel like, you know what, I really need this car. I need this. Would it matter to you at all if there were nobody else to see it? Would it matter? I don't think it would. I think you'd have a totally different mindset if that was the case, honestly. So when people say that, when people do that, I just feel like maybe you're not being that genuine, you know? Maybe you're not that genuine. Maybe you're not as genuine as you think you are. It's entirely possible, right? So that's what I would say. You know, people will even marry that person. They'll work that job. They'll marry somebody they don't really love. They'll work a job that they hate for decades to keep up appearances. They'll marry because they're supposed to be married. They found somebody that they can tolerate, but maybe isn't and probably isn't really their soulmate. I mean, marriage doesn't work out half the time, right? So it's just an interesting thing. It's interesting how much of our lives we live for other people instead of doing what the fuck we want to do. It's just odd, right? Why do we do that? Why do we do that as people? How does it make any sense for us to do that? I don't know. I don't have the answers. I'm just saying it doesn't make much sense. So yeah, I just feel like you got to live your dreams, you know. Don't make me sad. If you won't do it for you, do it for me. Live your dreams for me. You don't want me to be sad, right? What did I do to you? Why would you want me to be sad by not living your dreams? Ask yourself that. Why do I want Zero to be sad because I'm not living my dreams? Why would I do that to him? What has Zero done to me to deserve that? Is that fair? Is it really fair? I don't think it's fair. So do it for me if you won't do it for you, please. How are we sounding at this mic? This mic sound real nice. It's just nice to see it. It's a aesthetically pleasing mic, you know. And I got the air screen on there. That's not even windscreen. Got the windscreen on there. That's not the usual jam. You know what it is. I'm trying, man. I'm trying to make more of effort. The viewership has fallen way off. Listenership, viewership, whatever you want to call it. And I got to do better. I can't. Shit. I got to do better with everything, really. So hopefully we get better. Doing my best. I'm sorry, guys. Most of life, man. It's just us doing people. Do it for yourself. Do it for me. Just live your life. Do better, you know. You can do this. You can make it through these tough times. I know you can. I know you can. I believe in you. If you don't believe in you, I still believe in you. And I want that for you. Okay? I want you to be happy. So, that being said, and inspiring things that happened this week. To get to some more inspiring things. The Rolling Stones, legendary rock band, the Rolling Stones, have released their first album in almost two decades. Their first album of original material. They did have Blue and Lonesome in, I believe, 2017, but that was blues covers, right? Which is great. You know, it was certainly a fun album. But when it's covers, it doesn't feel as much like it's them, you know, even though they started out doing a lot of covers, but still feels like, oh, you know, we know them for their original songs more. We know them for Can't Always Get What You Want, Give Me Shelter, Paint It Black, Satisfaction, Jumpin' Jack Flash, Street Fighting Man, you know, all those, Miss You, Slave, all those songs. That's what we know them for. There's so many. Honestly, Heartbreaker, Start Me Up, Honky Tonk Woman, just song after song after song, Tumbling Dice. They have just a ridiculous number of classics. Some Girls, Beast of Burden. I say that to say they dropped their new album, Hackney Diamonds, and it's easily their best album in decades. Don't listen to dumbass Pitchfork or Anthony Fantano, those fucking hipster douchebags. Sometimes they're helpful. Sometimes they have good scores. In this case, they're way off base, and you could see it. Most of the scores are very good. The fucking Pitchfork score is dragging it down. It had, like, last time I saw it was like 78, 79 overall. There's a couple perfect scores, a lot of 90s, a lot of 80s, and then fucking Dick Fork comes in there with a 4.5. Just a trash score. And they gave, I know I've been doing this a lot. They gave For All the Dogs, that Aubrey album that has mid-ass scores, that is not doing that well critically, they gave that shit a 6.5. So they're basically saying that this new Rolling Stones album is worse than that. And by fan response, I don't think that's anywhere near the truth. I will never hear that album, the Drake album, unless somebody like fucking nails me to a cross and makes me listen to it. That's the only way. No other way would I ever hear that. But from the little snippets I've heard, it's trash. So it, at the very best, it's mediocre. So there's no way it should have gotten a better score. Because I got to say, this album, this Hackney Diamonds, it really is their best in a very long time. And truthfully, it's one of the only real like rock and roll albums to come out in the last few years. So it's just, they did a great job. I think they recaptured their old sound, and I was really impressed with how it came out. I give them a lot of credit. I didn't know what to expect. I actually expected it to be good. I thought that it was going to be good, but it exceeded my expectations, I have to say. So I give them credit for that. And it's just inspiring to see, as a music lover myself, as someone that, you know, has dedicated my life to music and making music, seen them in concert. I've seen them recently in concert, and it's so inspiring to see 80-year-olds doing this, like doing it for the love, you know. It's very inspiring. I hope to be doing that when I'm their age. It's like watching them move around. It's just impressive. Especially Mick, like still moving around like that, still singing like that. And Mick sounds better than he has recently. You know, he's been able to take care of his voice. And I thought he sounded good. Couple weird auto-tuned things in there. I don't think it ruins the album. I honestly think this could end up being a classic album. I'm not even joking. Like, listening to it, it sound like, if you told me it came out in the 70s, I would believe you. It sounds like that. And I don't mean that in a bad way at all. I mean that they managed to capture like their best shit, you know. It really sounded impressive. So the song with Lady Gaga and Stevie Wonder, that's just a great song. Sweet Sounds of Heaven, I mean, it's like a 7-minute jam, and it's just great. It's like, it's one of the best songs they've released in a long time. And there are multiple songs on this album. Angry is a great song. That one was one of the ones that was a little affected by it. Sounds like auto-tune. It doesn't sound quite right, like on certain little vocal passages. Doesn't ruin the song at all. Still a great song. But the one with Paul McCartney, Bite My Head Off, they gave him like a special bass. The producer gave him this special fuzz bass, and it sounds incredible. I thought that song was a lot of fun, very cool. I was impressed. And it was just cool to hear Paul McCartney playing with the Rolling Stones. Like, that's so legendary. And you get caught up in the moment of that. Like, wow, this is really cool that their new bassist for this track is a Beatle. And I heard that he was excited about it. And it was just, he was like a kid in a candy store playing with the Stones, being in a band again, doing that, you know. I mean, they've been friends for like 60 years, so it's just so cool that they did that, I thought. I know they had their back and forth and a little bit, but I know Mick and Paul have been cool for a long time, so it was very cool to hear that. At one point, Mick says, "Come on, Paul," like, and I just said, this is such a cool moment for music in general. So my hat's off to them, you know. But Pitchfork, I mentioned those scores. Pitchfork also gave Weezer's Make Believe a 0.4 out of 10, which is just unbelievably harsh and unnecessary. I mean, that's not a great album, and Weezer has some subpar albums. It's not that fucking bad. There's a couple songs on there that are cool. It's not that damn bad. A 0.4 is like, I don't know if I've ever even heard something I would give a 0.4, you know? Like, there's usually at least like a song or two that are tolerable that keep it for being a fucking 0.4. That's just it. You know what a 0.4 probably is? It's like a super underground guy that is totally offbeat and recorded badly and just intolerable to listen to. That would be a 0.4. I probably have heard something like that, but I can't imagine like Rick Rubin producing a Weezer album gets a 0.4. Like, that's just, yikes. I remember seeing that score and just thinking like, is that real? And that score, I'm sure, weighed the album down because there's only so many review sites that count on Metacritic. And if that's one of them, you get a 0.4, it's going to be real hard to recover from that. That album got mixed reviews. It didn't do great, but it didn't do that bad. There's albums that do bad. That album didn't do that bad. So, yeah. I don't know. There's at least a couple of songs on there that make it worth listening to. I would say a 0.4 is extremely, extremely harsh. So I personally would rate Pitchfork. I thought about it. I'd rate that site a 4 out of 11 Zeus Slavs God. Based on what I've seen, a couple good reviews on there and a lot of shitty ones, honestly. A lot of really bad reviews. They're either dick writing or like fucking shitting on something that doesn't deserve it. Like, I guess it's uncool to like the Stones. People want them to be done, you know. So the Pitchfork represents the hipster crowd that would feel that way. For me personally, I think it was a very good album, and I think it was their best album since Tattoo You, easily. Like, easily. So, I don't know. It was a lot better than A Bigger Bang, which I also don't think was terrible. It was probably just all right. It had a couple... Rough Justice was a cool track. But, yeah, Rough Justice is really one of the only ones I remember. Rain Come Down. That album wasn't really my style as much, and it didn't sound like the Stones as much as this... This really sounds like the Stones, so I would recommend it. I don't know what I'd rate it, but it would certainly be closer to an 8 than it would be to a fucking 4. So, and sorry about that. Stupid fucking... Don't you hate... That's the one disadvantage of the computer, is like stupid shit pops up and fucks up the sound. So I apologize for that. Should turn off the sound on those notifications. It's really not necessary. If I'm on the computer, I can see the pop-up. I don't need the sound of the pop-up. Like, it pops up in the corner of the screen. It's very visible, very clear what's going on. So, yeah. yeah, I'd give Pitchfork a 4 out of 11. The Needle Drop's one of the best reviewers, but even he gives terrible scores. Just off the top of my head, I remember him giving... He's given, like, a Lil Yachty album a 7, but he did this... He reviewed the Stones album. He did a short review where he talked about it for less than a minute. And it just seemed disrespectful to me, like, to review a legendary band that hasn't dropped an album in 2 decades. And you're just blowing by it, basically saying it's not worth listening to. Like, not really giving that much specifics. Not even mentioning that, like, Stevie Wonder, Elton John, Lady Gaga, and... Paul McCartney are on the track. Like, to me, that seemed odd to not even mention that. So I didn't understand it personally. It just seemed like they didn't care, you know, to actually... It seemed like the Needle Drop... I call him Needle Dick when I'm mad, when I'm annoyed with his reviews. So the Needle Dick, he didn't take the time that was necessary to review legends. You know, he reviews all this bullshit SoundCloud rap and doesn't have the time for the legends. But meanwhile, if Kendrick drops the album, he will meat ride that into the sunset, you know? And it's like, all right, sometimes I'm not going to lie. I feel like sometimes with that stuff, it's like these guys trying to prove that they're like good white liberals, you know? And it's like, oh, look, they're subtly displaying their liberal white guilt in these, like, reviewing these albums, like To Pimp a Butterfly, which I think is a classic album. I don't think it's one of the best hip hop albums ever, like on the short list. I don't think personally, I think there's a lot of skips on there. There's like, I is a skip for me personally. You, I know, like, emotionally it's a good track, but I think that's one that you're not going to listen to all the time. And there's other tracks on there that, you know, there's like How Much a Dollar Costs, I would say is overrated. I never thought that track had that much replay value. And there's other songs like that, but somebody like him will act like it's a flawless project, and it's like it's really not. It's like it's intentionally all over the place, and it is good. It's great, even, I would say, but it just feels disingenuous when it's like you're just meat writing it because it's like morally correct or whatever, because you like the more you like the message of it so much that you like aren't actually talking about the craftsmanship. That's the issue I have with these people, is that they get so swept up in like the message of it that they're not actually watching anymore. You know, they're not actually like paying attention. They're just swept up in like the message of it, to where it's like, the actual quality of the songs doesn't matter anymore. So that's what I'd say. I think it's a little silly, but yeah, so he fucks up with that. That's one of his flaws that he's prone to, is like doing stuff like that. And everybody has different tastes and stuff, and apparently that's his taste, is to shit on a legendary band in favor of like SoundCloud rappers and stuff. He gave For All the Dogs a proper review, and he didn't give this a proper review, and I think that's silly. It's like, that guy's been pumping out an album every year for the last few years, like, but you don't have the time to give a proper review to a band that hasn't released an album in 20 years. You just like blow by it and basically say it's not worth listening to. Kind of ridiculous. I don't know. Anyway. But Blink-182 is back as well. I was actually, Super Mario Wonder just came out. Spider-Man 2 came out. It's like the early 2000s all over again. Because there was actually a Spider-Man 2 game in the early 2000s, like with the same name. It was based on the movie, but it was a Spider-Man 2 game. So it really feels like the early 2000s, which is a great nostalgic time. I enjoy that. I enjoy that time coming back. So, yeah, very cool. Super Mario Wonder is a lot of fun. I've thought that it was playing. You got to play it with people. I think that makes it more fun. I like that elephant power and all that. The new like floating hats and all that. It was fun. I recommend it. I haven't played. Well, no, I've played a decent amount of it. We probably played through at least like 10 levels. So I'd say I have a pretty good idea of Super Mario Wonder, but maybe not necessarily an expert on it. I haven't played it enough to accurately review it or whatever. But yeah, I heard the new Blink-182 album. You know what's kind of funny? I fell out of interest with that type of music around the time that Blink-182 broke up. So that last self-titled album they did, where Tom left the band, that's about the time that I was not as interested in that music anymore, necessarily. And I think when there's a moment in everyone's life where they're like, oh, they outgrow certain music and they're like, oh, I'm not supposed to like this anymore or whatever. And it's like some of that is fair and some of that is just you being a dumb kid. I think I was kind of being a dumb kid because it is fun to listen to. It has a certain energy to it. And I was actually really impressed with the album. I was listening to it and they recaptured their old sound. I didn't realize how important Tom was, because like I heard some of their recent stuff and it really wasn't very good. It didn't sound like the same band, especially like one of those albums had like this whole electronic thing going on. And I was like, this doesn't sound right. Like it's supposed to be guitars and pretty stripped down guitars at that. Like there's a guitar, there's a bass, there's drums, and that's it. You know, they don't have pianos in their songs. Like, it's just pop punk, you know? So I was pleasantly surprised at this. I think they really recaptured their old sound very well. And I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of goodness to come. I really was impressed. And yeah, I'm looking forward to, I'm surprisingly looking forward to the future, you know, with them. So I don't know. And it's been cool. In this time of like increased artificial elements, let's not forget the value of real instruments, you know, like let's not forget how impressive it is for people to be able to play instruments and play them live and play them with technical proficiency and all that. Like, that's an impressive skill, and it shouldn't be taken lightly. And I know now it's more and more artificial instruments like drum machines. And sometimes I feel bad. I feel like I've contributed to that with my drummer. I want to have more real instruments. I don't want to just have it be, you know, like these electronic instruments, like fake guitars, fake drums, and all. I'd like to have more real stuff myself. So yeah, that was a takeaway this week with two bands coming back that are rock bands, you know, like, let's not forget that value. Like, I have love for all music. I really do. Like, you made people happy. Regardless of how I personally feel about your music, you made people happy. Your music provided people with that spark in their lives. Your music helped them through tough times. Even if I think it's terrible, like, it doesn't matter what I think. It's funny because you guys say that. You see me in comment sections and you try to come for me and insult me. And it's like, you shouldn't care what I think. For one, I'm just doing this to mess around, trying to drive streams and stuff. And when you stream my music, you're giving me exactly what I want and falling into my trap. So I don't know why you keep doing it. It's kind of hilarious to watch. You get so mad. You get so mad. Yeah, but I just laugh. But I have love for all music. I really do. You release that music to the world regardless of who you are. You did something brave. People are afraid to be criticized. A lot of people will not put shit like that out because they're so worried what people think. So any of the real artists out there, I appreciate you for that. Like, for even taking the chance. Because there is a lot. You're gonna experience more negativity than positivity by a lot, honestly. Even the most popular artists, there's more people that don't like them than like them. It doesn't matter what the artist is. There's always someone saying they're overrated. So it doesn't matter how good you are in the eyes of, like, if you could have the most people that like you and you'd still have more people that dislike you. So don't get too down on yourself about that, you know. And the Zoomer, so the Zoomer Civil War would be like one Zoomer telling another that his hair is more broccolier than theirs. That would start mass riots, I think. Chaos would ensue. Just, you know, you got to have the most broccoli Zoomer hair. That's part of being a Zoomer, is having broccoli hair. Doesn't matter what race you are, you got to have broccoli hair. That's a Zoomer trait. It's getting more and more racially ambiguous. Everyone's going to have broccoli hair. It's going to be a broccoli hair takeover. I kind of have a little bit of broccoli hair, honestly. So there you go. I'm a Zoomer. My hair's more broccolier than yours. Come at me, bitches. So stupid. But generations keep getting more and more inclusive, and I think that's a beautiful thing. I really do. Like, just keep it up. Keep it up, Zoomers. Keep it up, Generation Alpha. Like, we get more and more inclusive every time. And sometimes we overcorrect and we cancel people we shouldn't cancel because they're not always 100% correct with what they say, or, like, they're not adhering to some social norms or whatever. But at the end of the day, if they're heart's in the right place, we have to account for that more, you know. We can't just always be picking everything apart and saying, like, this isn't good enough, that's not good enough, all this stuff. Like, some people, like, are not as adept at communication as others, and that's okay. That happens, you know. Not everyone has the same strengths and weaknesses. That's part of life. So yeah, life, generations, you know, life is about building generation after generation, helping each other, kumbaya and all that. That's what it's about. It's about passing on all your knowledge to the future generations and just trying to do better. So we got to keep that up. We got to keep that up. And now I'm going to get into KZR's boards. So Do you believe in Victor Wembanyama? I feel like he might be injury prone. I actually was looking up his injury history, and he's had kind of a lot of injuries. And he's had injuries that have made him miss like whole seasons and stuff. So I'm kind of shocked that people are so sold this early, because if I had to bet, I think he'll have like a Yao Ming like career. If I had to bet, I think he'll do well. There'll be the flashes of greatness there, but I think like he's just going to be too injury prone, like a lot of those really tall, skinny guys end up being, you know. And I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I'm not wishing bad on the young man. I just feel like there's a good chance that it's not going to go as well as some people think it is, you know, because it just, it doesn't look like he's built in a way that's going to be able to sustain that long grind of an NBA season. I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. It would be cool to see like another like athletic freak like that, just to see like a 7'4" guy that can like guard all positions and run the floor and is an elite passer and all this and gets blocks. And, you know, it would be amazing to see that. I'm just not totally sold. The Niners are playing Monday night at Minnesota. I expect a win, but the offense is suddenly banged up, so we'll have to see about that. USC should fire their defensive coordinator. They lost to Utah 34-32. They fall to 6-2. They made their players unavailable after the game for, I think, the first time in a long time, like at least 13 years. Not a good look, USC. And their defense is just trash. Like, they keep having these games where, like, Colorado almost beat them, Arizona almost beat them, Notre Dame throttled them, and who just almost beat them? Utah did beat them. So it's just like, and Utah's beat them, I think, 4 times in a row. Not good, not good. I think that spans 2 coaches, because wasn't Lincoln Riley's first year last year, and they lost to Utah twice. And it's defense. If you just had a little better defense, you would have won that game. Just gave up a few less points, you would have won that game. But Lincoln Riley, I mean, Mr. Offense, all about the offense, but you got to stop the other team from scoring at least a little bit to win the game. You got to put up more points than the other team puts up to win the game. So if you're letting the other team put up a bunch of points, you're not going to win. And that'll do it for KZRO Sports. I'll be right back. I have my notebook. Almost done.
Lots of talking.
There's a lot of talking, huh? It froze up at one point too, so that extended it. We had technical difficulties. That was whack. Okay, let me. Okay, let me see. Let us see. Get into this. Get in that ass. And now, let us read from the Book of Grav. Life's a bitch, life's hard, but my dick's harder. I'll fuck that bitch, make her come, give that bitch order. Life's a bitch, life's hard, but my dick's harder. I'll fuck that bitch, make her come, give that bitch order. It's been a long road, but my dick's long through thick and thin. But my dick's a thick monster, well equipped for your trials and tribulations. Give your bitch that precipitation. My dick adjacent to Noah's flood. I'll turn your weak little flows to mud. You know what's up. I showed you hoes the toughness. I wrote the stuff for show as Cobra Clutch, kids. I opened up new dimensions in these genres. And now they can't contain the Zenny monster. Growing stronger with each new shot taken. No matter the obstacles, I got ways in. I stay zen through chaos continually. All my enemies stay lost for centuries. They sense to me, but I break through firewalls. If you come here with me, I'll take you higher. Y'all, life's the bitch. Life's hard, but my dick's harder. I'll fuck that bitch, make her come, give that bitch order. Life's the bitch. Life's hard, but my dick's harder. I'll fuck that bitch, make her come, give that bitch order. Now I'm playing. But yeah, that's my new right. I wrote that a couple of days ago. Just having fun. But yeah, so that's gonna do it for the show. Hope you enjoyed listening. I want to say I'm thankful for my extended struggle. A lot of other artists have to fake it, but I failed at life. I don't have to fake it. Like, they're still rapping about some struggles from like 20 years ago. I'm like, I'm still struggling. Still struggling over here. But I am happy to announce I am now a Pirate Studios ambassador. So I'm so many opportunities there that I'm looking forward to. I can't wait to make that happen, you know? It's exciting to finally be able to have that recording time and just make things happen. I'm looking forward to that. So I'm going to be an A&R now. Like, I'm going to be helping other artists get on, and I'll be able to provide a lot of opportunities myself. You know, I'll be at more festivals and stuff, more opportunities for me, you know, and I'm just looking forward to it. I mean, more details to follow. I'll have a promo code and all that. I'll be able to get you discounts. But yeah, thank you for listening. This is Life in Zero Gravity forever. Stole that from Fantano.